All right, it's September 3rd, 1988, and we have with us Ron Athey. And where were you born, Ron?
I was born in Connecticut. I was raised outside of Los Angeles in Pomona.
You're born where in Connecticut?
Groton, Connecticut. Groton. I was just born there.
And when were you born?
1961, December 16th.
December 16th, 1961. What's your permanent address?
2409 Holly Drive in Hollywood, 90068.
And, as you know, I'm doing a book called Attic, and I'm going to have your photograph on one page and your story on another page, along with like 50 other attics. Uh-huh. What I want to know is a little bit about your childhood, the pain, the joy, what happened, a little bit about your spiritual path today, and basically some profound stuff that makes you interesting to be in my book.
Uh-huh.
To go along with everybody else. So just let it rip. You got 90 minutes to talk if you want, or 15 minutes. Just let it rip.
Okay. I was raised by my grandparents. My mother's been in board and care in mental institutions most of her life. So my family was Pentecostal religion, and I was there was a prophecy on my life to be raised as a minister, so I had that pressure in my life. Also, I was raised in an all-black and Mexican neighborhood, which made me feel extremely different. I was usually the only white person in my school. My addiction started when I was very young. I couldn't stop, I was real shaky, but I wasn't hyperactive, and they put me on Valiums 4 times a day, and that just escalated. Some of the pain I went through, not having my own parents was always difficult for me. When I was good, I got everything I wanted at home, and when I wasn't good, I got threatened to be put in foster homes. Also, when I was about 14, my grandfather died, and I feel like I crossed a line at that point. I took like 9 Valiums, and I didn't cry, and it just kept on going after that. I'd always taken a little bit more than my recommended dosage of Valiums, but then I just crossed the line, and I didn't care how much I took as long as I could stop the pain, and I actually forgot who he was. Also, I was very feminine when I was younger, and that also set me apart from other people. I feel like, the grandness of, thinking you're going to be some magnificent evangelist, like, at one point I felt like that had destroyed my whole life. My reaction to that was I wanted to be a scientist when I was 15, and I decided that there was no God, and I did. I hurt myself a lot physically trying to convince myself there was no God. When I decided that I couldn't pray to God anymore, I put a pair of tweezers in a light socket and tried to, like, jolt God out of me. Also, I found that, from just sitting around in Valiums, I got pretty fat, so I started taking a lot of diet pills and Valiums, and I believe, the religious depression on top of that, I became very sexually perverted, and being of that age of 15 and 16, I seemed like I wanted to fuck everything inside around me, including, a lot of disgusting things. I felt like I was the most perverted person on the face of this earth. I never realized that other people had feelings like that, and to some extent they were natural, say they were, exaggerated a little bit with the drugs. Sometimes, in the middle of this, I wanted to be a scientist, and I was studying while I was still in high school at a college in the summer. I discovered punk rock, and it totally changed my life. Punk rock wasn't just a music movement, it was a totally political statement I lived my life by, and the destruction involved in it seemed like it suited me a lot. So I cut all my hair off and pierced my ear, and my grandmother just got out of the hospital, and she was throwing plates of food at me and still telling me how ugly I was. I left home when I was about 17, and even to this day I still have never connected those members of my family. pretty much from that point on, you know, it was really rough for me out there. First, I moved out with a girlfriend to get away from home, and the story of like my first injection is real classic of a lot of the experiences I brought into my life. I was at a huge kind of barbecue thing in San Diego, and this one guy had fell down a hill and skinned his knee up real bad, and I remember being extremely drunk and seeing this bloody knee, and I like dropped to my knees and started licking the blood off his knee, and I, you know, talk about attracting those kind of pupils, and I went to an apartment with these people, and I like shot drugs all night for the first time in my life, and it's what I've been, you know, looking for, is that type of destruction. It totally went along with the overdone punk lifestyle that I wanted to live. Whenever I got into anything, I didn't want to just be a member. I wanted to be one of the people who invented it, and that's what I did with punk rock. I wanted to be the most extreme-looking person in the scene. I wanted to be involved in everything. I had this feeling, I guess it could have been my conscience, it could have been some kind of humaneness that was still inside of me, but for a while I was running around with this guy and we'd like steal car batteries and shoot huge amounts of drugs, and whenever I do anything really scary, drug-wise, sexually, or like stealing, I get this like really creepy feeling inside. And I hated that feeling, and I spent the next like 2 years doing everything I could to get rid of that feeling until I didn't feel it anymore. And then I realized I was jaded and I didn't feel anything anymore. I went through a lot of, you know, insecurity the years after that. There was, you know, at first there was points where I didn't have anywhere to live and stuff. Then I like got a job and I was living in the back of a car working full time and stealing things. But I must say I tried to be an honest dope fiend. I never wanted to be a criminal. I never fantasized about illegally making money. I always had somewhat of like whore mentality. I always tried to hook up with men or women with money and, you know, ride on their scam and, you know, whatever it took at that point. I've always been suicidal too. When I was real young, my way of getting out of the house was to be accepted to college. When I didn't get accepted to college, I took a whole bottle of Seconals and almost died. And at various points after that, for attention or from feeling a rejection or whatever, I tried to kill myself a lot of ways. And from that point on, you know, living on the streets after I left that place in San Diego and moved back to LA, I, you know, drastically tried to kill myself in several ways. And then that stopped, you know, years before I got clean. But the changes in my feelings that I went through after that, I don't know, every year just got more depressing, and I believe I felt less and I was less excited about, you know, seeing bands and going out. It became more and more just taking drugs, and also a big thing with me was that I could still get dressed up and look good, even though I was just living the use, and I had, you know, I had these things going on around me. You know, I went out to clubs every night for a long time, and slowly, you know, I just ended up staying in my room and, you know, having my own little circle of people around me, but I didn't, like, go outside and live. I was lonely. I hated the part of me that was tender inside. I you know, I went to any lengths to shut my feelings down. I've even, you know, I thought for a while, like, killing animals was good proof, you know, when I was a teenager, that I didn't respect life whatsoever, and I, like, thought, you know, I should kill a person just because it was an art statement. I was insane. My thinking was getting further and further over the edge. I wanted to kill things, I wanted to destroy things, and all I was doing was taking it out on myself. I don't know, at one point I decided to conform. I started working a 40-hour a week job, and I was serving drinks on the weekend night, on Friday night, you know, just working myself to death, just trying to, you know, the more I worked, the more I used, and I don't know, it wasn't working anymore. I don't know, I couldn't even tell you why I continued to do it. I still went through, you know, I didn't know who I was. I'd go, you know, I was gay for 6 months, straight for 6 months, back and forth. Today I've decided to say I'm gay because of the the way that I've like treated women in my life. I wouldn't want to repeat that again. I don't know, I went away, I tried to kick heroin for, it seems like, a year. I like went cold turkey numerous times, I went on methadone, I tried everything I could to stop, and I believed that all of them would work. I thought all I had to do was stop. I didn't realize that I had a living disease. I went away and stayed with somebody in Las Vegas for a couple weeks, the last time I kicked, and I didn't sleep the whole time I was there, and when, coming back to LA, I was in terror. I didn't know how I was going to stay clean here. And, I've been working for this man, and I've been kind of, like, fucking around with him, and I went to my first, I went to my first meeting, and I was real scared, and I could hardly stand up, and I hadn't slept in weeks, and I saw people there that I'd used with, actually, and that they were clean. So I knew the program worked. I wouldn't listen to the fact that people were praying. I had to try another way, so I, like, hooked up with this man who I was working for, and I, made him my higher power, and I, like, lived with him over the next year, or almost a year, and, I couldn't keep clean. Somehow I kept from getting strung out. I just exchanged drugs. I started using different drugs, and I was miserable. I realized I was dying on drugs that weren't even my drugs of choice, and I kept having relapses like every 2 weeks. And I met this girl, and she 12-stepped me for about 6 hours. She told me what you have to do to get clean when you're a sick addict coming to this program. And I started going to meetings every day. I started reading any literature. I had 2 relapses after about 9-day periods after that. And from that day on, I've been willing to do whatever it takes to stay clean. I don't know, I hurt so much when I was using, and I hurt even so much more than that before. And I thought, the damage was permanent I did to myself. I took so much hallucinogens and speed, and then just, had a boring heroin run for about 4 years that I don't know how I had any hope for living. Kept going to meetings, and I just tried to listen. I was in total despair. I wasn't my own person. I had no sense of integrity. I had a cleanup commitment at a pretty large meeting, and when I had about 4 months clean, I was walking miles and miles home from that meeting, and I was still living with this man who was supporting me, and I looked up in the sky, and it was a real clear night that night, and I started drawing lines between myself and the stars in the sky, and I realized that I, for the first time in my life, that I belong here on this earth now, in this time and place, and that even if I don't live, comfortably right away, I'm still going to wake up and be here tomorrow. What I found, and I believe it's an important lesson in the program, is that no one owes us anything, and that it's okay. I learned acceptance, that, life can be hard, but you can't, I had to just get a sense of integrity for myself. I belong here, and it's up to me to take care of myself here, and I became more willing to work a more rigorous program. I became more willing to respect other people and start, breaking down some of those roles that, finding people to take care of me. So, I went home that night, and I moved out from the house I was living with the man, and I slept on couches for about 4 months after that, and never complained. I stayed in constant gratitude, and I just got to know a lot of people in the fellowship, spending the night on the couch and talking to them, and I realized, I paid my dues, and when I got my own apartment after that, I felt, so good about myself. Amazing. Anyway, my first year, a lot of it was real foggy. I stayed in service a lot because I know I always had this feeling, how do you know when you make it in the program? I wanted to guarantee, I wanted to cut my finger off to guarantee that I could be clean for the rest of my life, or at least for a few years. You're not given things like that. You have to have faith, and you have to do a lot of footwork, and I understood that. The more commitments I had, the more I felt a part of Narcotics Anonymous, the more I felt like I had a chance of staying clean. I had an obsession to use for a long time, but I just, no matter what, I didn't use. Right now, I'm not particularly enthused about my story. I degraded myself. You know, all my morals went away. Like, I was, you know, a few times I, like, was reduced to snatching purses. I was just, like, a typical desperate junkie. My first year recovery, my head was real foggy. I was so willing. I felt like I was on my knees at points. After my first year, fog lifted. I was actually rejoicing in life. I was wakening up. My senses were opening up. And I knew, you know, I was home, and it was really working for me. One thing that's, you know, a very inside issue for me is that I'm HIV positive, and I found that out, you know, not long after my first year. And I didn't share it at meetings. I just held it in at, you know, someone's suggestion, and I couldn't share it at meetings. I hated everyone. I hated everyone because they weren't all in the same situation as me. I hated other people because they weren't coming out with it. I felt like I've been evil all my life. I finally get clean and now this is my punishment, as if it wouldn't have happened if I was still shooting dope. I was boiling. I went out of town, I went to a meeting, and people were sharing about it out in the open there, and I felt like, you know, I could come to terms with it more, that, you know, it wasn't just happening to me, and that I wasn't necessarily going to die. I was recommended to come back and share about it, you know, from the podium at all my home group meetings, and every time I've, like, spoken since then and I talk about it, you know, people come up to me. I don't know, I think it's, like, a real current issue in NA, and that there has to, like, be more education about it. I've, like, you know, spoken at, you know, like, meetings in suburbia, and, you know, a lot of people think that I'm dying of AIDS just because I've been exposed to it, and it's like, I don't know, it makes me uncomfortable to have to go through all of that, that I've just been exposed to it, and I'm living in a solution. We're all going to die, just people who've been exposed to HIV don't have a license on dying. I'm not symptomatic at the time, and I have a priority in my life, and that's staying clean, and no relationship and no disease and nothing's going to stand in front of that, because if I start shooting dope again, the quality of my life will drop through the floorboards, and I don't want to live like that ever again, and I'm going to do everything that I can to do it. I didn't get healed overnight. You know, I just couldn't turn it over to God. I was enraged. I was pissed at God, and I felt sorry for myself. And I tried to stuff those feelings. And after a while, I was, you know, ready to own them. I had to, like, snivel a little bit to people once or twice from the podium about frustration, sexual frustration, feeling like my life is over. I didn't realize that any limitations I had, I was putting on myself. If anything, testing positive has been like a catalyst. It's enhanced my life. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I started eating better. It's made me polish up a lot of corners in my life. It's also made me work with people who have AIDS, work with people who are positive. I feel like I've processed a lot of that with the help of God and the 12 steps and the fellowship, even though they may not be exposed to it. I believe everyone is affected by this. Today, that's very, very secondary. A little while ago, I was making myself sick. I was starting to get paranoid, and I realized that I needed that more conscious contact with God. I needed to have a stronger contact with God, because I wasn't living my life to the fullest about that. I was sitting around worrying about it too much. So I've, I've, like, further, you know, sought spiritual life because of that, and it's made it 100% easier. I just feel like I've, like, reached places that would have taken me a lot longer to get to had I not needed to get there when I did. On Wednesday, September 7th, I'll have 2 years clean, and I'm just great, you know. I don't think I'm well, but I'm as grateful as when I first came in to like have that relief, to have that place to go to where I can relate to other addicts, where I don't have to have any secrets anymore, where I can learn to start loving myself and accepting myself. Love is a key word in the program for me. Love is something I've wanted all my life from the family I never had. Love is why I always have been in a relationship and step in clean time. Love is something I never knew how to give back unless there was something in it for me, some kind of security. I don't know, during this weekend I find myself overloading on love. I feel like screaming or passing out or something. It's almost too much at that point. I have a God in my life today, and that God is healing me inside and out, and I believe I'm being healed by healing other people, and I do believe the primary purpose of this program is the newcomer, and I can't even express how much satisfaction I get being there and reaching my hand out and also coexisting with other people in the fellowship. I know I'm 26 years old, and I feel like I lived my life hard. I wanted to experience everything to the fullest. I'm obsessive and compulsive in every department. When I first kicked, I hadn't slept in weeks, and I had diarrhea. I've got a funny story. I was sitting on the toilet with diarrhea, eating a handful of cookies, drinking a Coca-Cola, reading a magazine, smoking a cigarette, and this man who I lived with, who was normal, you know, opened the door, and I felt like a fucking hog. I had like this hole inside of me that was so huge. I didn't have God at that time. I had only been to one meeting, so that hadn't hooked in, and I couldn't feel myself. And today, you know, most of the time I'm at ease with myself. And I don't know, for 2 years I just worked for someone on the program, and you know, got my head back together and let a few brain cells click on. And today I'm studying computer typesetting at school 35 hours a week, and I'm working, you know, about a 25 hour a week job. So it's a lot of hours, you know, working on myself right now, and it's really rewarding because I feel like now I can handle it. I don't feel like it's any threat to me. Also, I have a counselor at school who has 11 years on the program, and you know, the advice she gives me, if any of it gets to be too much, just drop out of one or the other. And I know, I feel like there's the right people in my life today. I know that's all I have to say.